Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear! We are Pappies. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew.
And welcome to the latest Pappies Flatshare podcast. This week it is a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Clarkie, what's a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts?
Oh, it's when we take a problem that one of you, a dear listener, has with a flatmate and we discuss it with a very special guest and then we solve it.
Yes, we try our level best to solve your flatshare-based beefs. You can email them to us at beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com and we will try and solve them on the show.
And also, our decision, we've decided, is legally binding?
It is legally binding, yes.
Right,
our decision is final. Whatever we suggest, even if we suggest several different things that are conflicting.
Which is often the case.
Which is often the case. You've got to do them.
Great. Who's our guest this week?
Works.
Matthew.
Oh, our guest this week, Thomas, is the wonderful Lou Sanders.
Woo-hoo!
A fantastic stand-up comedian, one of my absolute favourites, and a good friend to us.
Lovely.
Always been a good friend to us.
Been a great pal.
Yeah. Do go and see her live if you ever get a chance. She's absolutely brilliant. I think she's also on Taskmaster as well. She's great.
Great. Well, let's get into it, shall we? This is going to be an absolute treat.
Have fun, everybody.
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
No, let's start right now.
Oh, yeah. No time like the present.
Absolutely. So we welcome our guest, Lou Sanders.
Thank you.
Hey, Lou. How are you doing?
And that's the thing every week. You welcome the guest or you just...
Traditionally.
Very welcoming.
Traditionally, we welcome the guest, yeah. So we're not putting on any airs and graces for you being here.
No.
But it's lovely to have you. Do you feel welcomed?
I feel... Can I just say...
You feel
say,
threatened?
I feel absolutely top of my game broadcasting podcast-wise.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
It's good to see you.
You've got me peak talk.
At the pinnacle.
This is peak talk. This is when we've got you.
Is that to do with time of the day, day of the week?
Cycle.
Very cycle. Much cycle.
Very much the old lunar cycle. So
not had a period for 6 years.
So we've caught you at the perfect time then, haven't we? Coming up to the 7 year itch. As it's known. Oh, I really fancy a period. I'd love one. So anyway, well, it's great to have you here here on the podcast.
Welcome to our flat.
Thank you. It is very basic.
Yes.
I mean, there's more mics than pretty much anything else.
Yeah.
That's all we've really got.
More mics
got
than beds.
There's more mics than beds. There's more mics than dicks.
Yes.
More mics than dicks.
One more.
Well. There's something else I'm going to tell you.
We throw out everything that doesn't bring us joy.
Oh. So Clarkie threw out his dick.
Clarkie threw out his dick and we got a
Tom's.
Crosby's dick's the only thing that brings us joy, weirdly enough.
Busy boy.
It's not a bad dick. So
the reviews are in.
If I do say so myself, I want to blow my own trumpet on this one. It's not a bad dick.
Wow, I mean, if you can do that, then...
That's exactly why it brings me so much joy, Clarkie. So we're going to solve some of our listeners... Flatshare-based beefs.
Are they mysteries?
They could be.
Would you try to turn this into a true crime podcast?
Mysteries.
I tell you what, why don't you solve them like they're mysteries and we'll solve them like they're beefs.
Okay.
How's that, Lou?
Yeah.
So remember, if you do want to send one in, it's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
Emails.
Mysteries.
The mystery of email. How do they work?
It's magic.
Wow.
Mysteries.
This is exciting.
This is good, actually.
It is.
It's nice to have a little, sting done live.
Ah, mysteries.
Great.
Okay, great. Well,
so we've got that now.
What mysteries?
So, who's got the most mysterious one? Let's start with Clarkie. Do you want to start with yours?
All right. I've got one from. First name only?
Front name only.
Front name.
Front name.
Front name only, Clarkie.
You're my front, my last, my everything. It's Roger.
Hello, Rog.
Great front
strong
name.
Really strong front name. And a name that I think is probably dying out. No offence to Roger.
But not on walkie-talkies.
I mean, I think this. The reason...
But are walkie-talkies dying out?
Yes. Categorically, yes.
So,
walkie-talkie, it's quite a childish name, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
I wish we started walkie-talkies.
For something that the army are supposed to use.
Walkie-talkie. Yeah. You're walking and you're talking, but stick Lily onto soften it.
Yeah. Careful of my baggy shooty. It's about to go off.
Can we stop talking about dicks, please?
So, I think Roger, as a name, unfortunately, I can't imagine a little baby called Roger.
Well, you're going to have a baby. Could you call it Roger?
I could do. It's going to be a little girl, but, you know, gender's a construct.
Thank you.
Little baby Roger. Oh, actually, now it's already warmed my heart.
Roger Crosby.
Roger Crosby, somewhere. I think there's a bit of a dodgy assonance in the middle of that, isn't
my
there?
My to-do list.
good thing we threw your dick away, isn't it?
My bang is shooty. Was there a Roger... Was there a... When Roger started, was that guy called Roger saying...
Let's back up a second. Oh. When Roger started?
On the walkie-talkie.
Roger. Not the first Roger.
No. Like, Roger that, Roger Wilkie.
Yeah, Roger that.
Because no one's called Roger, so actually very clever.
Yes.
You know, because if it said Dave that...
Dave,
which Dave?
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you think the first baby...
It's a mystery.
Do you think the first baby to be named Roger was named via walkie-talkie? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is...
Okay, fair enough.
What I'm saying is...
Thanks for playing along. Is
I'm going to call my son over and out.
I've been to an improv class.
I was flipping that. Was the first Roger that on a walkie-talkie... Because there was a guy called Roger using the walkie-talkie.
Oh,
so he finished his sentence by saying, like, Roger that. Else why did they use Roger?
It's a mystery.
We'll never know.
It's the first of many mysteries.
Roger that.
So what does Roger write?
He says, someone named me when I was talking on my walkie-talkie. Now. Okay. Looking forward to having you in my ears in my week.
Yes, we're here.
My beef is with my son time.
Wait, hang on a sec.
Oh. Sometime.
Oh, okay. That's what my dad does. My dad does that to my sister because he's got three sons and a daughter. And so when Beth brings dad a cup of tea or something, he'll go, thank you, son. Shine. because his go-to is son. So Beth always has to be sunshine.
Because he really wanted four boys.
He wanted the royal flush.
He wanted the royal flush, yeah.
That would be five.
Four kings.
Surely.
Yeah, he wants...
I'm shaking my head. You can't see it, but I'm shaking my head at your father.
Listener, dear, Lou is sticking it to my patriarchy.
Oh, you turned into a little cat there.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
my beef is with my sometime flatmate, Ross.
Are you adding this pattern of, or is he doing this with capitals or?
No, I'm just adding that.
He's just adding a little bit of flavour.
Bit of spice.
Give it a little bit of fun.
Because what you don't realise is that Clarkey is not just doing this podcast, he's also recording a voiceover reel.
Oh, right, okay.
And he's showing the kind of variety he can give.
A bit of musicality to proceedings.
That's it.
Okay, so sometime.
Flatmate,
Ross.
Hello, Ross.
I stay with Ross for a few weeks every August during the Edinburgh Fringe. We both love comedy, and...
Who doesn't?
Well,
I love a laugh.
We all do.
I love to giggle.
Absolutely. Would you prefer a chuckle or a giggle?
I'll giggle Monday to Friday.
Weekends, oh, really? What do you do on the weekends?
Weekends
are at the comedy store, aren't you?
Yeah. With a wry eye. Sorry, carry on, please.
We both love comedy, and him living in Edinburgh makes life a lot easier.
Oh, this is lovely.
Lovely story.
Where's the beef?
There's no sign of a beef. It's a mystery.
Anyway, thanks for writing in, Roger.
Remember, if you've got just a bunch of sentences, you can send them into beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
If you've got a friend called Ross and you're happy about it, let us know.
I also pop up.
He really loves comedy.
I also pop up a couple of times a year to see him and stay a night or two during non-festival times.
It's a gorgeous city, Edinburgh, to visit outside
people
of the festival.
Forget it's lovely.
Some people, by which we mean comedians, forget that it's lovely the rest of the year
I
round.
I think it's better. Better without the comedians. It's so much better outside of the festival.
Boycott the Fringe.
As a flatmate, he's great. An amazing host, and a brilliant friend
It's like a children's book. It's like, it doesn't, there's no plot here. It's just Roger and Ross. It's just having a great
two
time.
Two nice friends.
The GBH allegations are coming. Okay,
okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Strap
let's
it.
Get
well,
tasty.
We've hit the however.
However.
So, an amazing host and a brilliant friend, however.
No, I don't want to hear this.
My problem lies with Ross's mouse.
Oh.
Ross has got a mouse.
It is a children's book.
A wee mousey.
It isn't a pet mouse.
Oh.
This is a mouse that lives in the walls of the flat, which Ross has not deemed a big enough issue to get rid of.
Like
tough.
Mice.
Not going to talk about that bit. Cool.
Well, I was actually a little distracted there. Sorry, Clarky, because Tom has drawn what I think is probably the worst drawing of a mouse I've ever seen in my life.
Well,
now, firstly...
Listener, dear.
Very long legs for
such
a mouse.
Such long legs. I'll take a picture of that and I'll put that up on the I'll put that up on our Instagram because that is not.
Are you sure you don't want to save that for the patrons?
Listen, if you subscribe to Patreon, listener dear, you'll receive a T-shirt. You'll receive a T-shirt with our mouse painted on it.
That's already going straight in the favourites file. That photo. Okay, there's Tom's mouse. Sorry, so he lives in the walls.
Yeah, it lives mainly in the kitchen / living room.
Classic mouse, vintage
which
mouse,
which is where my blow up bed is.
In the kitchen?
Where I bloody well sleep.
He sleeps in the kitchen?
Well, hang kitchen on. Kind stroke of living room, which I thought was weird, but then I think it must be a kitchen living room.
A kind of studio type.
The utopia starts to crumble.
Yes.
What started as a beautiful vision of friendship.
You've got a kitchen living room, haven't you, Parry?
I like to call it a studio apartment.
It's a studio apartment, very much.
You've
a studio
got a bed
apartment.
Living room as well, don't you?
I've got an everything living room.
Yeah, basically, you've got a room.
Yes.
The only thing that's not in the room is the bathroom.
I've got a little cart. I've got a little curtain that I draw to sleep behind.
Do you draw it as bad as the mouse?
It's got really long legs. Lou.
Yeah.
You strike me as somebody who is at one with the animal world.
Yeah.
You're a very kind of spiritual person. Mm.
I did waterboard a mouse once.
Okay. That's. Talk to me about that.
Well, I know it. No, actually, because we have clothes, moths that eat clothes.
Okay,
they're a
special
breed, and I won't kill them. My flatmate gets really annoyed.
I will
pick it up by the wing and just pop it outside. Probably finds its way back in. But I've done that successfully with four different moths. So they're living on the outside world now, thanks to me.
I thought if you touched a moth's wings, it couldn't fly anymore.
Yeah, it crumbles.
Oh, no, this isn't a moth like a butterfly moth. This is like a little, like an insecty, like brown. It's like a, it's called a moth. Carpet moth.
Oh, okay, right.
Because they eat the carpet. And I think they're fine because it flew away.
Okay, fine.
But anyway, the point is, once I had mice and my boyfriend at the time, he said, we were living together, he said, you just got to ask yourself, why are you getting so upset? There was hundreds of mice all over the flat, stinking of piss, like crawling over
they
everything.
They do absolutely stink.
They stink. And,
they urinate over everything.
Yeah,
and they're incredibly unhygienic.
I was going mad. I was like, we've got to... And we tried those different things and they were still growing. And I was like, this is unbearable. We've got to move out.
And did you relay this to your boyfriend?
Yeah.
You said, this is why I'm getting upset.
It stinks.
It's because we live in a flat full of piss.
And he was like... You just got to ask yourself why you're so upset.
You've got to ask yourself.
And, anyway, but then we got desperate and I would never do it again. I didn't really think through, this was years ago, and I didn't really think through the consequences, but that sticky stuff and their feet get trapped on it, and I thought you could save them, and
no,
you can't. It's so horrific. And then I was like, what the fuck do we do with this one that was half dead? And then we had to, like, he had to hit it. It was so awful. Oof. But there is a humane way of getting rid of mice. I would never, ever, ever recommend any other way because it's truly haunting. And we didn't know what we were doing. It was years ago. Oh, God, I feel sick about that now. Anyway, you can put stuff on the floor, I think carpet as well, and it tells them to go away because it's hot on their paws, but it doesn't hurt them. And then
set fire to the carpet.
No, it's
gets rid of the moths,
stuff.
Gets rid of the mice.
And
gets rid of the carpet.
This is actually really serious.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, this
sorry,
is the non-jokey section.
Sorry, you're telling
listening
the truth.
To the non-jokey section.
I am telling my personal truth.
This is your truth.
No, and anyway, they go away. They tell each other, and the thing it's like £300, and you
they
get a guarantee for a year. They tell each other through mouse talk, and then they don't come back. And it's as simple as that. And no mice get hurt.
By the way, Mouse Talk is our other podcast.
Yeah.
So it's weird that we're doing.
We should have invited John to Mouse Talk. Actually,
it's about Sarah.
It's a non-comedy podcast about mice.
So the other thing you can do is you can set little humane traps, and then when they sort of arrive in, like, you know, whatever the trap is, they have to, like, drive it 3 or 4 miles away from your house so they don't just come straight back in.
Oh, wow.
And let it loose in a park. Oh, yeah.
But I don't think they really work when you've got so many.
If it's, like, completely overrun, then maybe they're the hot sauce on the ground.
What if you haven't got a car?
What if you haven't got a car?
Could you call an Uber?
You can Uber it, yeah.
For your mice?
I would keep the mice in, like, a hold all in the traps rather than just have them all in the Uber.
You've got a hold all full of mice?
Well, I haven't, no.
Wow.
But
and take them somewhere nice.
But
Make a day of it.
In fact, why not take them to the airport?
Yes.
Pop them on a plane.
Mice on a plane?
It's not a bad idea for a movie.
It's not a great
sequel. Has anyone done it first?
It would be a good solution, because snakes eat mice, don't they? So maybe that'd just be...
Something for everyone.
Something for everyone.
I think I reacted very badly, because that's what I remembered about waterboarding the mouse, and I don't think I felt good about myself.
Listen, you've got to let that go.
Yeah.
This was a long time ago.
Yeah.
You're good now.
I was trying to kill a maimed mouse. To be fair to myself, the maiming was first problem number one. Then problem number two, put it out of its misery. Best way to go? Drowning, famously.
Absolutely, because you get a euphoric high, don't you, when you drown? Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. No one's ever proved it, have they? Because everyone who's drowned has never been around.
I nearly drowned and I didn't enjoy it.
No?
Okay.
You didn't get to quite to that level. You didn't drown yourself hard enough, Lou, quite frankly. That'll be next summer.
Drowning's a great way to go.
Apparently drowning, a very, very peaceful way to go.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow,
I thought it'd be horrible.
Producer Emma's shaking her head going, let's not go down this
route. No, sorry, I'm confusing drowning with peacefully in your sleep.
Oh,
that's what I was thinking. Yes. I always get the two mixed up.
Yeah.
Sorry, Clarky, we've
fallen asleep in a swimming pool.
Oh, that's the ultimate way to go.
The ultimate combo.
How are we with mice, very quickly, just going around the table? Good with mice or bad with mice?
How do you mean good with them or bad with them? What do you mean?
If you're in the room with a mouse, you're
fine,
losing your shit.
Fine, I love it.
You're fine.
There was one in the office the other day. Absolutely, I couldn't believe it. Wanted to come back.
Luke?
I'm still thinking about dying, and I think I'd like to go on a banana boat. I'd like to die on the banana boat.
On the banana boat, just sort of flying off it?
Yeah. Banana boats are ever so fun. And if you're going to die, at least you've had a whale of a time beforehand.
Wow.
Yeah. Literally. Although, presumably you'd die by...
Breaking
your neck, yeah. Which I suppose is instant.
Yeah, but you are screaming through the wind.
Having so much fun and then poof, dead.
Lovely. Mouse, don't like them, thanks.
Good with mice, bad with mice?
Good with mice.
Like the mice.
I like a little mouse. I don't want it in my house, but
I like
a mouse.
They're cute.
It's the speed of the fucker that gets
they're
me.
They're full of vermin.
They are vermin.
They're full of...
They're not. They're
Oh yeah, they're full of themselves.
They're full of themselves.
Where do those mice get
running
off?
Around. Oh, puffing their chest out, shitting everywhere. So what's the problem with the mouse? He's not a pet.
So I once bought a loaf of bread after being out all night.
What? we all done it.
What a life!
Taking in as much comedy as we could. Oh. Looking forward to bacon sarnies in the morning. To find that during the night.
Oh dear.
The mouse had eaten its way to the whole loaf.
Wow.
That's not one mouse.
Leaving a big circle in the middle of each slice.
That could be several mice.
Did you just buy a bag of bagels?
They do live in like a proper cartoon land, don't they? Roger and Ross, like, open the loaf and it's got like a mouse-shaped hole.
It's got a mouse-shaped hole. Well, the thing about mice that I found when we had, because the reason I had mice, this is a bad story, because it's so obvious.
It's not as bad as loose.
No, I didn't murder them.
I'm not a monster.
But I did an Edinburgh show in 2015 that involved me doing a sort of strongman act where I had baby bells on pencils, like dumbbells.
Oh, great.
And chopping Rivita like it was like I was chopping through wood, like a karate chop through wood. It was good fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, at the end of the festival, I took this big suitcase full of cheese and crackers and just left it under the house, basically. And
in the legendary
crawl space under my house.
In your house in London?
In my house in London, yeah.
Someone's doing pretty well for themselves.
And I've got a crawl space, yeah, I'm doing okay.
He doesn't have a standing space yet.
But. No, but I can crawl all over the house. But yeah, unfortunately, I was sharing that crawling space with a load of mice. And the reason I found this is because they'd got into, at first they'd eaten all of the Rivita and cheese, but they also got into the Pappy's prop box, and they'd eaten. We used to do a sketch where Tom played a vending machine, so he had like chocolate bars hanging off an old hoodie.
Imagine being that mouse.
The mouse found all these old chocolate bars and ate them.
Imagine getting
and
through
they eat
that.
Till they die.
So that's what ate till they die.
So the reason the mouse is no longer there is because it just ate and ate and ate, and then so I would find all these dead mice like you know, like basically next to some Rivita, just on its back with this enormous big fat belly, because they just eat and eat and eat
that's
until they die.
That's a humane way to get rid of mice.
Eat
put no, it's a Rivita down the floor.
It
little feast. Stick Rivita down the floor and say, have your fill, boys.
No, because the problem is...
go with a smile on your face.
They talk, as Lou said. It's a bit like they say, don't go in Lou's flat, it's got hot floors. They go in Crosby's flat.
Yeah.
Rivita, as far as the eye can see.
But they're not getting out, they're eating until they're...
No, they're sending it through...
They're sending out the messages. They're sending out through MySpeak.
Yeah,
but they've got their mouth full of Rivita. They can't talk.
They're chatting, babe. They're chatting. Dead. How do you chatting. Think they're also chatting, they're having mate. Babies. They're eating and they're fucking. And good luck to them all.
Absolutely.
What a life.
What a good life.
I know a Rivita. Man called Barry who's eating till he dies as well. So
friend of yours called Barry. Passed
Big Barry. Big Barry. He's Big just Barry. Eating until he dies. He can't get up anymore.
Oh, is he still alive?
No. Yeah, but he's eating until he dies. Oh, Barry. Well, that's Barry.
That's Barry.
You can't help them if they don't help themselves. That's Barry.
I mean, we are technically all eating till we die.
Yeah, Barry, if you're listening.
It. Let's get back to Roger's beef.
The mouse has also...
I like that he knows it's a single mouse.
Yeah. He doesn't. He's off his bloody rocker.
Okay, I think he means walked. The mouse has also walked through my cereal box before, chowing down on some of the...
Walks through my cereal box? Well, like David Copperfield going through the Great Wall of China.
Well, he put it as the mouse has also watered through my cereal box before.
He could have watered through it. It's more like he watered through it.
Chowing down on some naughty fringe Nesquik.
We've all done some naughty fringe Nesquik.
Dude, if you are at the Fringe this year, go and see Naughty Fringe Nesquik. It's a mixed bill show, but they're really, really enthusiastic.
I like to buy food knowing that it isn't going to have a mouse or mouse byproducts in it come the morning.
Yes.
Right. So.
Yeah, go on.
Is the beef, is that the end? Is that the end of the beef?
No.
Okay, so I was going to say, is the beef with the mouse or is it with Ross? I guess it's with Ross.
I think, yeah. Please let... me know if Ross is in the wrong for not dealing with his pest problem or if I need to suck it up. Well, that's one way to get rid of a mouse.
Suck it up. Come here. 4 miles and then spit it out.
Oh, could you hoover up mice?
Oh,
you could.
A little mouse.
Look at the noise it's going to make when it gets into the tub.
Oh God.
Horrible.
No, that's not fair.
The old hoover tub.
The old mouse hoover tub.
Yeah, so, or if he needs to suck, or if I need to suck it up as he's giving me a place to crash. It's a good point, actually. Cheers, everyone. Bye. P.S. Wow. Ross.
Of course, P.S. Jeepers, Roger, mate. Brevity's the soul of wit.
Ross will listen to this, and he should probably be told he's a top, top, top bloke.
I mean, first of all, I love the bromance that's going on between Roger and Ross.
I think they've...
Fair play to you, lads. Keep it up. Keep supporting live comedy. Keep having a great time, all right?
You keep giggling away.
I love Roger and
keep
Ross.
Keep chuckling. Keep giggling.
Keep Nesquiking. Keep giggling.
Absolutely. And you know what they say? The couple who Nesquiks together stays together.
Yes.
So they've got a lovely relationship.
This is
There's
great.
No denying that.
Yeah.
But...
The mice.
The mouse.
The mouse.
He regardless, I know what he means because he's staying there as a favour, whatever. But the other guy... What's his name? Ross?
Ross.
He needs to sort his life out. Is he ever going to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend? I don't think so. With vermin in his flat.
Well, this is the thing. It's can Ross deal with the fact he lives... like because Ross is there, presumably, 52 years. I don't know how long his lease is. But 52 weeks of the year. So he's there most of the time. Roger's only there for, say, maybe 4 weeks of the year.
So is it loneliness?
It's unacceptable to buy food and share it with a mouse and all that vermin running all over the place. Get that man in, £300, put hot pepper on the carpet, say no more.
So you think you think actually that Roger shouldn't have to deal with mice every time he visits?
Yeah.
You think Ross should be getting rid
of
them?
Well, I don't care about Roger. I just
we care about you tremendously, Roger.
Yes, I care Thank about Roger. Listening. I do care about Roger. But what I mean is this isn't an issue. This is Ross needs to sort his life out regardless of Roger. He can't be having his snacks eaten by mouse. You save on snack money if you pay up front for the man to put hot pepper on the carpet.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is don't do it for Roger, Ross.
Do it for do yourself. It for Have Ross. The self-esteem to give yourself a mouse-free flat.
Not live in a bloody hovel. You're not another mouse.
Shape up Ross.
Or ship out or the of your own flat.
Yeah,
shape up Ross. Or ship out.
Do you ever want to get French kissed again?
Yes, please. Oh, sorry, I got confused there. I thought you were offering to give me a French kiss.
No.
Oh, dear. Oh, well. Hope springs eternal in the human heart, isn't it?
Oh, no, I've done something wrong again. Upset a girl.
So, Clarkie, how do you feel about this?
I think Lou's pretty much hit the nail on the head there. But this hot pepper thing, that's
it's
what
not
I'm
actually hot pepper. It's a special substance. They put it all across the floors. The mouse ran away, and they tell the other mouse never to come back. But it's
can't
a
they
guarantee.
Can't they sell that like shaken back?
Yeah, you think so?
I don't think.
Or they got a racket going.
Or is it
£300 quite a lot
for a year's guarantee to be free from vermin?
Is it dangerous to like
no.
little kids
no.
Or,
no.
Or pets? Other pets?
Have you tasted it?
No.
It's not.
Is it hot on your own bare feet? Have you invented this?
No.
Is this like the Dragon's Den?
My friend did it.
Is it peri-peri salt?
My friend did it. He's never had mice back again. Okay? I would help if I knew the name of it. You just Google hot feet mouse.
Hot feet mouse.
By the way, right, if you're up at the Fringe this year, go and see hot feet mouse.
They're following really Naughty Fringe Nesquik. It's a really good
some
app.
Great
really,
uni lads.
They're really, really strong. They're just a bunch of lads from public school who just enjoy having a laugh, aren't they?
Yeah.
And who can blame them? They're really, really great. It's great to see some blokes doing sketch comedy.
Oh, it's lovely. And their dad's actually in the Beers as well. It's really fun.
It's funny. Their dad's actually the mayor of Edinburgh. And the other, so they're Pleasance Grand. every day, 8 p.m. Harry, how do you like to play on this?
I'm not a fan of mice. I once woke up in the night with a mouse running up my arm. It's one of my worst ever memories. Asleep in bed. And I felt something scurrying. It woke me up. And I woke up and flicked something. And I thought I dreamt it. I thought it was a nightmare. And then whoop, from under the bed came the mouse.
Yep.
And a scream from the bottom of my
visceral.
Like up from my balls. Mm. Like a scream.
You screamed out your own balls.
Scream balls from my balls. It's like my relationship with mice is...
Sorry, we'll have to do this off mic because it'll be way too loud. But sort of facing away. Can you give us, as best you can, the scream from within the testicles?
Like, I can't because it's a guttural. It's like... That kind of like, when it's like, whoa! It's like, oh!
Yes. Yeah.
But it's kind of that fear, that pure fear.
That's the one I do on roller coasters.
They get me. And it's kind of like, my thing with mice is proximity. So if I'm in my house and I see a mouse, if I'm in my room, I'll freak out. But what I do have is this kind of relationship on the tube where they appear and I can kind of be like, oh, there, I see you. You're all right. You're just a little dude. I get it. But then as soon as they're in my territory.
In your dojo.
Oh, freak out.
My friend Nikki Harris once got up in the morning and
front names only, please.
Front names.
Nikki.
Harris, very much a back name.
Gotta
keep that in.
Keep that in. Lovely stuff.
She woke up in the morning and got up, and underneath her had been a squished mouse.
Yeah.
She squished it in the night. And that's why this is beneficial to the mouse. It's not nice for the mouse to share a space with us.
But this is what I was going to say, is I have lived in a house with a very gentle, sweet guy who loves all creatures, and he fed a mouse and kept it as like a little pet. And we thought we had a mouse problem, but he was actually feeding it and encouraging
it.
And there's something about Roger and Ross's existence. It has this kind of cartoon quality, this kind of like Disney kind of positive outlook on life. And if this was a Disney film, that mouse, he's going to be a good dude. He's going to be a character.
The mouse would be helping tidy up, Mary Poppins style.
The mouse is
going to
be voiced.
The fleas on a Disney film.
But the mouse is going to be voiced by, you know, I don't know, Chris Rock or something. He's going to be
he's a sort of wisecracking mouse.
I mean, he's going to be a fun guy, this mouse. And so there's part of me that thinks, you know, Ross, get on board in Roger's world. This is Roger's. Oh no, Roger, get on board in Ross's world.
Sure,
Ross loves his comedy. You're having fun. You're staying out late. Jolly japes. This mouse is part of the. He's part of the story.
So, well, what are we saying? We've got on one side, because I mean, Clarkie, it's kind of the casting vote is ours, really.
Yeah.
On one side, we've got Lou saying, Ross should have some self-respect.
Clarkie's already sided with Lou.
That's true. You have.
Well,
actually.
I kind of have, but.
Come on,
it's an interesting point from Tom, actually. They do have like a nice kind of sitcom-y vibe going on, these two.
Cartoons
aren't
real.
And partly, it's like a part of the fun of it, isn't it? It's like, oh, we got that dastardly mouse. I think that you, I think there's a fun middle ground where you can get into loads of scrapes and japes trying to elaborate ways of getting rid of the mouse.
Mouse Hunt,
like the movie Mouse Hunt, the with Lee Evans.
Never
and,
seen
John
it,
Goodman.
But
it's great.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really good.
This podcast is brought to you by the movie Mouse Hunt.
Mouse Hunt. We'll be recommending other movies from 1997 after the break. No, I think I know what you're saying, but I think Lou's point is true, that mice stink, they eat your food, they're incredibly unhygienic, you're not living in a movie, it's not voiced by Chris Rock. Ross, have a little self-respect, mate.
And they multiply at an alarming rate, like a single... No, nothing. I was going to say like a 17-year-old in Margate.
Oh! Taking down your Kentish roots there. And why not? So can we all agree? I mean, can we all agree now that we should the mice have to go?
Yeah. All right.
Sorry, Parry.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. Sorry, Ross. Well done, Roger. Beef solved. Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, Lou, you've got one you want to read out?
Yes.
Thank you.
I shall start the read now.
Begin it.
Hi, boys.
Hi.
Oh, dear.
Bad start.
Who's this from, by the way?
Grace.
Front names only.
Grace. Front,
Grace.
Front name Grace. Another woman. My 24-year-old brother and his girlfriend live at home with my parents. They reside in a mini apartment on the bottom floor of the house that has its own separate kitchen. Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. Because I was going to say mini apartment on the bottom floor of the house is just a basement, isn't it? But it's got its own kitchen.
It's its own apartment. This that means that nice. If my parents are away at night and we're making dinner at home, he'll make entire meals just for him and his girlfriend that I'm not invited to take part in. Because I'm away at uni most of the year and only really come back as a visitor, I don't usually have any of my own groceries about in the house. Therefore, I'll most likely resort to having instant noodles while he'll whip up a gourmet meal for two. There have been occasions where I've endured the sounds and smells of grilling steak as I'm cooking my instant meals.
And during literally this time, a beef with her brother.
It's got real beef in it.
And during this time, he will only come up to the kitchen if he needs ingredients. He also hoards the kitchen utensils that I have to sneak downstairs to retrieve when he's out. I'd love for you to help me settle this injustice or give me a plan of action when I return home in a few months. Thanks. Grace, long-time fan, first-time emailer.
Thank you very much, Grace.
Thanks, Grace.
Now, this is quite a tricky one, isn't it? It's another. It's not dissimilar to Ross and Roger in that... She's only a sometime resident.
Yeah, but
the house.
The brother's got the whole flat.
He has
it's
got
not
the whole
very
flat.
Communal spirit when their parents have like said, "Oh yeah, come move in," and he sees his girlfriend all the time, and his little sister's home, like or older sister. Come on, make a third portion.
Okay.
Well, this is one side of it.
This is a real case of like a house where there's like upstairs, downstairs. Things going on downstairs, things going upstairs.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Gosford Park.
Oh.
This podcast is sponsored by Gosford Park.
Gosford Park. If you haven't seen Gosford Park, it really is a wonderful movie. Was Robert Altman.
97? It's probably a bit later than 97.
A little later than 97, I think.
I was really trying to go for a 97 film.
Do you know what, though? It really is a wonderful movie. Was it a Julian Fellowes movie?
Do you know what? I think it was.
I think it was.
Precursor to Downton Abbey.
Please go and listen to... Please go and watch. In fact, don't watch it. Just with your back to the TV.
Oh, was Clive Owen in it?
Was Clive Owen in Gosford Park?
Listener... Send in your emails. Was Clive Owen in Gosford Park?
I
don't
love
it's,
Clive Owen.
It's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com if you want to tell us your beefs or whether or not Clive Owen was in Gosford Park.
We have Owen, no other way of knowing.
Clive Owen, if you're listening.
Oh, sorry, front names only. Clive.
Oh, Clive, if you're listening, get in touch. If you are a Clive, get in touch.
Another dying name, I would say.
Okay, this is the...
If you're a Clive or an Owen.
Yeah, this is the official line on it. If your front name is Clive or Owen, then get in touch and tell us...
Your bottom
was
name.
Clive Owen in Gosford Park. Okay? That's the hot take on this one.
Yes, I think we've solved your beef.
I think it's mean because I get on really well with my brother and I love his girlfriend as well. And if they didn't include me, I think I'd feel really left out. And have you lost the spirit of community?
Okay, I'm going to come in hard on a take here.
Okay. Right? Harry's got a hard take.
It's not easy when you live at home. He's obviously living there. He's got a separate life. You've got to build a separate life for yourself. Surely you have to respect that. Let him get on with it. You can't have your sister coming down all the time. You're trying to blossom. You're trying to build a romance, a relationship together. He's cooked a romantic meal. He's clearly trying to make this woman his partner for life. This is an exciting time for them. They're 24, you know.
Okay,
you sit
his
down,
girlfriend
you bond.
Dies in a car crash.
Who's this?
What then?
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Wow.
Luli.
Wow. Hang on. Wow.
Listen, I'm just saying. Listen. You have to make sure everyone's happy.
What? That is a crazy attitude to have. You've got to make sure everyone's happy just in case one of the people dies in a car crash.
Well,
you need to be able to step over and go, well, I haven't got
if
a girlfriend.
That happens,
still got a sister.
There will be a spare portion at the table.
That's true.
And then she could probably come in.
If she dies in a car crash midway through him cooking a bolognese... Let's not, I tell you what, let's move on
You've
from this
You've got
bit.
To think of these things.
She's got the call. Bolognese tonight. It's her favourite meal. She's speeding home.
No.
I understand a steak, right? If you've got two, because you usually get two steaks in a pack, sure. Don't invite your sister down for that one, but do come up with a creme brulee or something.
Oh, creme brulee.
Front names only, please.
Oh,
just
sorry.
Creme.
Creme.
So, do you see what I'm saying? Let them live. You know, and look.
Let them live.
And here's the question. Look, you're a student. You don't have to just eat instant noodles.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I did the same thing. I went through university on pot noodle sandwiches.
Yeah.
That was my meal of choice.
What?
Butter the bread, stick the pot noodle in, have it as a sandwich. It's actually really good. Really, really tasty stuff. But
it does explain a lot towards your current physique, doesn't it?
God bless. Never lost the student weight. Grace, learn how to cook. Take it as inspiration. In fact, and here's a fun game. If you can smell them cooking bolognese, cook a better bolognese.
Yeah.
Take a picture, send it down to them.
Yes,
they can send one up to you. Now there's dialogue. You're into each other.
Yes.
There's conversation.
Yes, Parry, this is literally, they go low,
you go high.
Exactly.
Or another idea on the back of that.
Yes.
You could go and get some Chinese broccoli or something like this and some other
broccoli,
ingredients.
Yes.
Come down and say, hey, tonight should we all cook together and watch a film?
No, you're not getting it. Stay separate. Stay separate. Have a conversation between them.
No, Lou!
You're not going down and interfering.
Sorry, did you hear me say Chinese broccoli?
You stay up, you cook the Chinese broccoli for yourself. You take a picture, you send it down and be like, check out this. And they're like, oh, well, we've cooked that.
Okay,
and
so suddenly, division, yeah? Division.
Grace,
yeah, division.
But Grace is learning. Grace is learning to cook for herself. She's improving. They're having a dialogue, so they're still getting along. But they're also respecting each other's
privacy.
Her
name is Grace, okay? So let's act with some grace. You go down with the Chinese broccoli and a peace offering being...
The broccoli.
The olive branch. The broccoli.
And the noodle.
The olive florette.
Now, is the problem as well for Grace, though? Now, I absolutely think that's a great thing, Lou, and I think... Parry, your idea is fantastic as well. However, I think both the ideas, I think they're both very easy to implement, with the small exception of, if she is a student, is money the issue?
I don't think when her parents have got a downstairs flat, money is the issue.
But
Mum, Dad, can you get some Chinese broccoli?
It's going to all be solved with a little bit of Chinese broccoli, is what you're saying.
I mean, once you get home, you're into the fridge of Mum and Dad, aren't you? And that way, then, she could treat it like Ready, Steady, Cook. What's in the fridge? What's in the freezer? I'm going to make a meal out of this.
You know what, as well, because if their parents like mine or like Clarkie's, I know your parents really stock a, they really stock a kitchen.
Oh, they do.
Yours as well do, Parry, as well. They really know how to stock a kitchen. And I, this, every time I go around and stay with the Clarks, they always try and give food to you as you're leaving, like big packets of cereal, whatever, just try and give you food. And they always say, yeah, take this, we don't eat it. And you go, why did you buy it in the first place? Yeah. But they love to buy food they don't eat to give away because they are...
I come back with arms full of so Chinese cute. Broccoli. Every time I'm up
constantly.
There.
That's so cute. It's a way of showing love, is cooking. That's why her brother's...
That's why her brother is a downstairs cook.
Yeah. A downstairs cook.
But it is. It's a way of, like, it's like community and celebration and love. And so it doesn't feel very nice. I don't think he should cook for every night. And sometimes she should cook for him. Because sometimes when you're the little younger sister, you have a thing of everyone should do stuff for me.
Absolutely. Well, true.
So you don't have that. You want to, like, if you're not getting what you want, then give what you want. That's a law of the universe. Thank you.
Yes. That's a really nice way of putting it. So you've got to put into the world what you want to get out of it.
Yeah.
And what you want is Chinese broccoli. Yeah.
Well, I do that quite a lot because I put a lot of money into the world, but it just never comes
back. It's not
coming
back to you, is it?
It's very true. Just going to a betting shop. I'm giving out what I want to get
you
back.
You have to say, this is one of spiritual law. When you pay for something, you say, I have to give this, to, not out loud because you look mad, but you give it, you, when you give part with a big amount of money, you say, I get this back threefold, and you expect to get it back, and apparently then it is delivered to you.
Really? So what are we saying? Again, it feels like we've got Parry and Lou.
I do think the student thing is it's a bit, she's coming back and kind of expecting kind of a house. You know when you kind of revert back to your childlike form whenever you go home, and it feels like a lot of that's going on.
Yeah.
She's coming home and expecting meals to be cooked for her.
It's kind of arrested development. Well, she's not expecting meals to be cooked for her. She's making her own meals. They're just really naff meals of instant noodles.
Yeah, but she's smelling the other meal and being like, why aren't I getting in on that action?
At the very least, stick a couple of pieces of bread around those instant noodles.
Stick a bit of white sliced.
Look back. Mm. At least do that.
You're not going to look back because your neck will get so fat.
I think make her jealous with your meals, this girlfriend, and soon she'll be wanting to dine upstairs with you. Suddenly you've got this interesting cuisine love triangle.
Does that kind of...
Is it a love triangle?
Yeah, a love of food rather than a sort of incestuous love.
Starts as a love of food.
See what happens.
Who knows?
See what happens. Maybe she hooks up with the girlfriend.
The way to a girl's stomach is through her mouth.
Guys, I'm glad you've ended it the way it did.
It's
because
very true.
Producer Emma shot me such a look there.
Yeah, it's not the...
The way to a girl's stomach is through her mouth. That's not a phrase. It could be, though.
I think you mean the way to a girl's heart is through her mouth.
No, the way
is through her stomach. Is through her stomach,
yeah.
But that's not... That's keyhole surgery.
No. So the idea being that if you...
That's keyhole surgery. Uh-oh, I've lost my way here.
I think what you're saying is if
you cook people...
If you cook people...
Oh, no.
The way to eat a human stomach... Now, hear me out. The way to make Hannibal Lecter's haggis...
Cannibalism, Grace. That is your answer.
We've solved it.
Cook
and eat them both. And I think we can officially say that is... Beef solved.
It's not quite an open and shut closed beef case.
It's not an open and shut closed beef case, I'll give you that.
But it is a mystery.
Mystery. Oh,
mystery.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
So, this is a very special beef.
Yes.
This is actually a beef guarantee. We promise if you donate to our Patreon, $2 or above, that we will solve your beef on the podcast.
It's very much like the Cash for Questions scandal that happened in Parliament a few years ago.
Very much is.
It's like Neil and Christine Hamilton of podcasting.
But a lot of brown paper envelopes.
Yeah. I imagine Neil and Christine Hamilton podcasts. So they're probably the Neil and Christine Hamilton of podcasting.
Is this $2 a week or month?
A month,
yeah. That's very reasonable.
Very reasonable.
You've kept this very reasonable for
you. We're a podcast of the people.
Mm.
Absolutely. And when you knock off the Patreon charges, it's basically nothing.
Mm.
It's basically free. we basically don't get any of that $2. So this is basically a free service we're now doing. So you can either get it for free, or you can give us some money and get it for free. So
let's get into this.
Oh, dear.
Exciting.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah. Up we go.
Okay, so that is the sound we give every time someone donates to the Patreon. And thank you so much. So this is from this is from Ben, front name Ben.
Oh, I like the sound of
it. I like the sound of this guy. So
if you donate to our Patreon, Ben, I told you it doesn't work that way.
I need the money, man. If I give in, I get it back threefold. Yes. I've been told.
No, you get a third of it. Didn't listen. Oh, I don't understand fractions.
So Ben says, "Hi guys, I still owe you loads of money for all your years of great shows."
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
keep it coming.
Keep it coming, man. Thank you very much for joining up to the Patreon. He said, so he's talking here about his. He said, "I asked my flatmate what beef she has about me, and she said the most annoying thing I do is leave things out and not put them away. Cupboard doors open. Apparently, the kitchen looks like it's been visited by a poltergeist." Uh-huh. But that is not a beef we need to solve because that's his flatmate's beef. She's not donated to the Patreon. Oh. However, here's his beef. Now, I've got a lot. I've read this beef already, and I've got some issues with it already. I love Ben because he's a Patreon subscriber.
Yes,
but I got myself a Hoth Rebel snow hat, writes Ben. Oh now, my. Hoth Rebel is presumably a character from that Star Wars.
Yes.
Anyone down with the Star Wars universe? Parry? Hoth Rebels?
I've seen them, but I can't quite remember.
The Hoth Rebel. A Hoth Rebel snow hat complete with goggles, radio, and scarf.
Wow.
So I'm imagining some sort of steampunky type affair here. Okay. A hat with goggles attached. She won't be seen out with me while I'm wearing it, unless it is actually snowing. She's refused to get out of the car if I'm wearing it. In fact, oh my goodness, she won't let me wear my pith helmet, Budenovka cap, I'm not sure what that is, but you can look that up, captain's hat, or US Civil War cap with her, whatever the fucking weather.
No.
And it's not like she listens to me when I advise her on what to wear, i.e. low cut, etc. So Ben.
Oh, Ben.
Ben, we can establish a bit of a character. So he has a series of, and I'm assuming this is his girlfriend rather than just his flatmate. That's why he put flatmate in inverted commas. He's got a series of novelty hats, and his girlfriend or wife or partner, however you want to describe it, has decided she doesn't like to be seen with him when he's wearing.
What a curse. What a curse to have a partner who's into novelty hats.
What a curse.
At what stage did he reveal to her that this was his penchant?
This is all he's given us so far on this.
I like it. I think he's a spunky, fun guy. Yeah.
Okay, this is what we wanted to hear because I can't say the same thing. So we need a counterpoint.
It depends. It's a context, isn't it? If someone who's fun and not too attention grabby in other areas puts on a dumb hat, it's funny. But then if it is someone who's a bit annoying, then it is a bit annoying. So you can't really tell without meeting him.
He wants to go out wearing a pith helmet. I don't think I need to meet him.
What is a pith helmet?
A pith helmet is the hard helmet that you would wear like in safari.
Okay, I've got a good idea. Yeah. He should stop wearing the hats and go to a clowning course instead.
Go to Goliath. Because he clearly wants to express himself.
He wants to express himself.
And he needs, let's call it attention. He needs attention.
Maybe he's a fashionista. Maybe he's kind of like, it works. If he was at the Paris fashion show, people would be like, this guy's got it going on. There's no rules in fashion land.
That's true.
Maybe that pith helmet's the next big thing. Get out in Shoreditch. They'll all be doing it.
That's true. Is he? I mean, I don't know. It's something about the fact that he starts with a Hoth Rebel snow hat that suggests he's not a Shoreditch hipster.
It's like he could be a hipster. He could be a battle reenactor. He could be a lunatic.
Wally.
He could be a Wally. He could be a fancy dress fan. He could be a fashionista.
Also, start an Instagram account where you wear all these hats for people to see and then you don't do it in your private life.
Exactly. Hashtag hat a day.
Hat a day.
Hashtag hat a day.
You wore a wig for a weekend once, didn't you?
That was great.
That was.
Why?
That was really good, actually.
That was a strong bit of fun.
It was a really strong bit of fun, yeah.
Where did we get the wig from? It was to look like me, wasn't it? We bought a wig that looked like Clarkie's hair, and Parry wore it for a weekend at the Llama Tree Festival. And actually, it gave you you're already a confident man, but it gave you a spring in your step I hadn't seen since university.
It was the first time I'd met Joe Lycett, and so we'd spent the day together, and he kept on having to look at me being like, I think that guy's wearing a wig. that's what I was really enjoying. I was really enjoying just being around people and seeing people be thinking, is he wearing a wig? And like, I'd be stood in the crowd next to people and they'd be nudging each other going, I think that guy's wearing a wig. And it was like, it's a real insight into what it's like to be a wig wearer. I had to say to Joe, like, at the end of the day, I was like, I am wearing a wig. I know I'm wearing a wig. And he's like, oh, thank God.
I think we basically did it for the entirety of like the stupidity of the joke of we went on stage, we were gigging at the festival. You performed the first song with the wig on, and at the end of the song said thank you very much and raised the wig like it was a hat, which I think it's a gorgeous bit of business. Thank you very much.
Maybe we've identified here that hats are fun. Maybe Ben's having a good time.
I mean, I tell you what, Ben, swap your hats for wigs and you've got yourself an Instagram account.
There you go. That's it. We've sorted it.
Do you think you could start a company of like wig your own hair? So you could do that where as a little prank, you go to the place, they shave your hair off and make an exact replica of your hair as a wig.
With your own hair.
And then imagine as a reveal to all your mates or whatever, you'd be like, guys, guess what? This whole time, it was a wig.
I think you're. I think you may be self-pranking. I think you're self-pranked.
I'd love to see that company on Dragon's Den. So our company is called Wig Your Own Hair, and then you do the whole thing, and they're like, "I'm out," and at the end you just go, "Well, thanks for your time," and the wig's off, and they're like, "I'm in," and all the money, suddenly money falls down from the ceiling. And it's like you just imagine.
Well, so that's
okay. Wig your own hair.
You don't have to wig your own hair, Ben. All you have to do, Ben, our Patreon friend, all you have to do is get yourself a series of wigs. And you know what? Take some photographs of yourself and stick them on the internet because everyone loves a wacky person on the internet. You could be a millionaire. You could be a billionaire soon.
I love how you're speaking in euphemisms for Ben. He's a wacky person. He's a character. He's a real one. It's kind of like you're being so diplomatic here, Matthew.
Before I say the wrong thing, beef solved. From the sorting out your beef solved. So, Lou, thank you for being a guest on the show. Now, we're going to solve one of your beefs.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not going to be Tom who's going to solve it.
No, I'm off. Bye.
Bye. Oh,
so lovely. He tapped across the table. So, Lou, your beef is going to be solved by Fanshawe Standen.
Oh, good.
The Deep South Southern lawyer from a John Grisham novel. Now, what is your flat... Hooah! Here he comes. He's got a new catchphrase.
His way in.
Fanshawe, great to have you here. Now, Lou, what is your flatmate-based beef?
Okay.
So I want to get a kitten, and my flatmate doesn't want to because he says it's not good in London without a garden. We've got a balcony. But then we live right by a park, and he said it'll get squished.
You can get an indoor kitten.
He says it's cool.
No, get an indoor kitten with cat aids. They're not allowed to go out.
Oh, it doesn't seem like my brand, babe.
Okay. Well, it's lucky that I'm not...
I want one of the kittens.
It's lucky. Let's not chase that idea down because we're not solving...
That's a joke.
We're not solving the beef. Luckily, we've got Fanshawe here to solve the beef. Now, Fanshawe, Lou wants a kitten. Her flatmate doesn't.
AIDS or AIDS-free, I don't mind.
Well, let's not bring the AIDS into it right now.
This is not to judge.
But Lou, that's her beef. Fanshawe, what do you think?
Ladies and gentlemen of the podcast, pleasure to be here. Gets me out the house of a weekend. Don't tell me what day it is. Not looked in a diary now for 7 years. We simple folk here. Sunrise, sunset. Only diary I know.
Okay.
God's diary. Golden orb. Reminds me here, Lou, of a little story here. You're talking about here our furry friends. Little strong. Little old strong. Now, I used to have a cat by the name of Little Old Strong. Kept it in the room below the kitchen. The bedroom.
All right.
Slept under the kitchen.
Strange layout.
'Twas a strange house.
Sure.
Yes. Well, anyway. Come here, I used to say.
It was always your catchphrase, wasn't it?
Come here, I'd say. Cat wouldn't come. Where's the cat gone? I couldn't find the cat.
Oh, dear. So, Fanshawe, can I ask, have you been drinking?
All I'm saying is, hard to find a cat these days. Hard to find a cat these days. Well.
Oh, my God.
Bye.
Tom, I'm so glad you're back.
How was that?
Tom, I'm so glad you're back. I am really worried about Fanshawe.
He doesn't know what day it is.
Can you have a word with him?
Yeah, I'll talk to him about that.
His catchphrases for cats are bad.
Okay, is he really?
Yeah. Yeah. Come here is not the way you speak to a cat.
Oh, no.
It's not come baby, come baby, come baby, come cat.
Oh, no. Lou, did he solve your problem?
No.
Oh, no.
If anything, I'm more unclear now.
Yeah. Mm. He's not helped that.
He's not a helper, is he? Sorry about that, Lou. Sorry we didn't get to solve your problem. Did get to solve a few beefs. On the podcast. It's been so lovely having you on the show.
Thanks a lot. I've had a whale of a time.
Oh. Mm.
Did
really
we awesome. Solve the mystery for you?
Mystery. What was the mystery?
The mystery is we don't know what the mystery is.
Ah.
It's the ultimate mystery.
From the sorting out your beans.
Wowee, what an episode. Absolutely brilliant. So if you have your own beef with a flatmate, please email us at beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
And if you'd like to support the podcast, go to patreon.com/pappiesflatshare and sign up and become a neighbour today. Or if you'd like to leave us some money, go to shityearmoney.com and you can give a one-off donation. Why not?
And as if you haven't got enough homework, get yourselves on iTunes and set us a bloody review. Ooh. Give us 5 stars if you like it. A little review challenge. Why not leave us your mouse story? We've all got a mouse story.
Everyone's got a mouse story.
What was your latest interaction with a mouse? Okay, let us know. Boss us 5 stars. And we will be forever grateful. So is that nearly it from us? We've got some live shows coming up.
We've got a live show coming up at the 6th of June, which I don't mind telling you is also my birthday.
It's Clarky's birthday.
There you go. So if you want to come along, give me a present.
Happy 42nd birthday.
Oh, come on now. That's not fair.
41st.
Yeah.
So that will be at the Udderbelly. We're also doing the 19th of June at the Phoenix. Come along to a live Flatshare Slamdown. That's almost it.
Yes, safe to say that this episode was produced by Emma Corsham. Corsham team, our fantastic producer. And please, dear listeners, stand by for our Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call, where we will be reading out all the neighbours off our Patreon. Otherwise, have a great day. Cheers, everyone. Bye. Well, be upright and standing and saluting for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call.
That was a nice bit of trumpet you did there.
Thank you.
It's a gorgeous bit of trumpet.
He's at the height of fashion. It's Tobias Ashton.
Oh.
Start strong.
She's squeaky clean. It's Alison Dean.
Oh no, Clarky's had an early blank.
Clarky's referring to himself in the third person, commentating on his blank. Oh dear, Clarky, come on.
I'm at an absolute loss. It's Nicole Ramos.
Their condition is pristine. It's Christian.
Her condition is pristine.
Yes.
Yikes. He's one of my many friends who happens to be... Oh, Jesus Christ, I've lost it again. He's not a Crooks. It's Jack Brooks.
Entering with an absolute flop, it's Richard Allsop.
Hair of the dog, it's Andrew Hogg.
His pelvic floor is extremely tight because of all the kegels. It's Dr. Greggles.
She doesn't weigh a ton. It's Vicky Baron.
She can rise above it. It's Sazzy Clovitz.
He's never a party pooper. It's Steve Cooper.
What a fantastic look. It's Carla Cook.
Always be farting. Dave Parsons. It's all about confidence, guys. You've got to go at it with confidence.
I think the confidence is your problem. And for the listener at home, Tom farted all the way through that as well. He wasn't even doing a rhyme. He was just saying, I'm always farting. By the way, here's Parsons. Always farting. It's David Saunders.
It's funny because it's true. I'm surprised she can't afford... It's Becky Mumford.
Ding dong bell. It's Zoe
fell. He's hungry like the wolf. Meet Tom Rolfe. Go on, Clarky. You can do this, mate.
No one comes before. It's Claire McGregor.
Hey, so he fell. Meet Anne-Marie Bell.
Oh, a doubler.
A doubler, lovely.
I used to be in a relationship with her, but sadly, we had a lover's tiff. It's Peter Smith.
I love your backstories.
There's too much backstory.
There's a lot of panic. Always, a lot of backstory.
Always a backstory.
It's like you're lying to the police.
And always, always panic. I'm like Tim Roth in Reservoir Dogs. I've worked out all of the angles. I know what the soap is like. I know exactly what happens when the police officer comes in. It's all too much. Sorry, Peter Smith.
Row, 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 you're Ian Clitheroe.
He's sitting on the Bay of Docks. It's Mike Cox.
He's called Mike Cox.
He's called... Oh, dear.
I think we've had him before, haven't we?
Mike Cox.
Mike Cox.
You've had Mike Cox before.
Okay, let's do two more. One from me, one from Clarkie, and then we'll wrap this one up because it's gone on too long.
Am I being censored?
I think... If you're going to make names up, mate...
Quite rightly so.
Okay. I went... Why? This is like when I write a greetings card and I'll write, I am so, and I've got like no idea how I'm ending the sentence. I am so delighted that I am writing a card for
Come
your
on, it's just
anniversary.
From account. Come on.
I don't know what he's just said to me. It's Scott Kennedy.
He's an absolute fucker. It's Matthew McCusker.
Jeepers creepers, and there concludes
the strongest,
possibly for the last time ever, the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Always be farting.
Tired of ads intruding into your favourite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.